To high school football and high school hoops now, as we bring in our next guest, Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle Telegram. Tim, long time no talk, my friend. How are you?
How you doing, Bo? Good to hear from you.
Well, it's great to hear from you as well. And boy, a lot to talk about today. Yesterday, it became official. You wrote an article detailing all of it in this morning's edition of the Chronicle Telegram. Elyria has a new head football coach, Devlin Culliver. What can you tell us about him?
Well, you know, I talked to him last night. He's a very impressive guy. He last was at Maple Heights, coached there. He was the head coach there for about 6 years. Gave up the reins last year, although he stayed on as an assistant. The reason he gave it up, his son was a senior last year, and he wanted to spend time being able to watch him play. He played at one of the other schools, and so that's why Devlin did not coach, wasn't the head coach last year, but was an assistant coach. His application to the Elyria board and the Elyria coaching committee jumped off the page at everybody, and they just liked what they saw and liked what they heard from this guy.
What would you say, you know, just kind of taking a look at some of those bullet points about where he has been and what he has done, what would you say in your mind is the most intriguing part of his past?
Well, I think the part that really struck me when I was talking to him was that he comes from an environment that's very similar to Elyria. He knows the type of kids that Elyria has in the schools, the diversity of Elyria. You know, they've got kids from just about all walks of life over there, and he kind of understands that. And I think from what I hear listening to him, he wants to not only cultivate these young men as football players, but to bring them along as young men and kind of show them what is expected of them as young men going forward.
What were your general impressions of him when you had an opportunity to meet him face-to-face yesterday and you had a chance to sit down and talk with him? What were your general impressions of him as a person?
Well, that's what I was getting into. I think he is more student, you know, bringing along the best of the student out in the person, and the kind of maybe becoming a mentor and a family father type figure to him. I just think he relates to him. He was telling me his own background. He had some struggles that when he was growing up. His father and him didn't always get along. In fact, he wrote a book called "Winning the Toss," and it relates to his bringing up with his father, and now he's turned that relationship into what he does, mentoring young men, you know, going forward in the schools. And I think he's very impressive when you listen to him. He's an artist also. He's got several. I don't know what the – I'm not in that realm, so I'm not sure, but he has several drawings, pictures, what have you, that are out there that people can enjoy. And like I said, he's also written a book. He's quite well-rounded.
On the football field, Tim, did he talk about what he hopes to bring to the Elyria Pioneers, or is that something he's waiting to see when he gets into camp?
Well, you know, being that was the first day that he was at Elyria, he's kind of grasping the whole thing.
Sure.
He did mention that he had a chance to talk to Sean Arno, the past coach, and knows that there's a lot of young players on that team that, you know, to be very honest about it, it was kind of a disappointing year, obviously. Mm-hmm. They didn't win a game. So, you know, he understands that it's going to probably take a little culture change to turn that around. You know, winning is something that is kind of becomes second nature, and so does losing, unfortunately. When you start that spiral down, it becomes kind of a habit also. So, hey, he's going to have to break through that, and I think what he plans to do is meet with the coaches that are on board now. I'm not sure what his plans are as far as coaching staff yet. He's mentioned last night that he's in that stage too, everything kind of being worked through at this point. But he's very excited about meeting with the kids, getting them in the weight room and starting to develop what he calls a program all the way down from the junior highs all the way through the high school. He wants to do that.
Did he mention what it was about Elyria football that attracted him to this program?
Well, he's always been he comes from the Lake Erie Lake, so he's familiar with Lorain, and he knows that Elyria is very, very similar to Lorain in the type of student athletes that they have. He knows it's a big school. He knows it's a tough conference that they're in, that GCC. Yeah. But he really thinks that he can develop, you know, the kids into a good, strong football program. What I gathered from him was that he wants to not only make the ones that are on the team now good, but he wants to try to maybe cultivate a where the kids want to come out and play. You know, it almost sounds very similar to what Dave McFarland has been able to do over at Lorain, where he's gotten the students excited about the program and they want to participate in it. And they want to be a part of it. And I think that's what he will try to accomplish.
Again, we're talking with Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, detailing the hiring of new head football coach Devlin Culver. He was announced yesterday. Boy, you know, taking a look at this whole process, you know, this has been going on for a little while here, the better part of 2.5 months now. Tim, any idea why it took this long to hire the new head coach?
Well, you know, I asked a couple of people that were on that committee, and the main thing was that they wanted to get it right, number one. But number two, they had to go through 46. There were 46 candidates, and there might have been, that was the last count, and there might have been a few more that actually kind of had a hint of maybe applying. But they had 46 actual applicants for the job, and they wanted to make sure they gave everybody, I guess, as fair a shot as they could. You know, I kind of looked through the list. There were several former players, a few of the assistant coaches that were on board at Elyria had applied. There were also a number of names on there that I was familiar with as far as being present or previous coaches at other schools. So I'm sure that's probably part of it. They had a difficult time just kind of sorting through what they had, and they wanted to just make sure that they ended up with the right person. From what I understand, the committee, which consisted of about six people, the athletic director Heather Beck, her assistant Mike Walsh, the principal of the school Tim Brown, and then there were several other teachers. They all kind of got the applicants' names and resumes on their own, and then came back with a list of five or six. And what Heather tells me that every one of them had Devlin Culver's name on there prominently. So that kind of helped them get sort down to this final choice.
It's interesting, Tim. I mean, you take a look at Coach Culver. He kind of is a perfect example of how the image of a coach is changing, isn't it? You alluded to it earlier. I mean, he's penned a book. And he's an art teacher. It's just not what you think of. When you think of the traditional football coach, he has such an expansive background, a lot of experience. But I can't think of another scenario where the art teacher ended up being the football coach. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's funny. That's exactly what he was saying to me last night. He said kind of breaks the mold. You know, normally it's a phys ed teacher or maybe a business teacher or something like that that's applying for the position. But yeah, he's always loved art. I looked online. He's got several, like I said, several drawings, pictures, what have you, that are available to look at. Most of them, a lot of them, are sports oriented also. And you know, he's just a fascinating person to talk to. I certainly wish him well. I think he's got a big job in front of him, obviously, to turn the program back around. But I think, you know, he sounds like the kind of guy that knows what he's doing and he'll get there.
Tim, I know there are a lot of challenges facing him. You know, he's taking over a team that, as we know, did not win a game last year. So if you were to narrow it down to two or three, what would you say are the biggest challenges that Coach Culver is going to face right away?
Well, I think number one, as he alluded to, he's going to have to build some depth on that football team. Get them in the weight room, get them stronger, get them so they can compete with people like, you know, Menner and Solon and Euclid and so forth. Those are pretty good football schools, and that's what he's got to be faced with is kind of building that program to the point where they can compete with those uh, those schools. Now, you know, Devin kind of took the approach that, hey, Elyria is a big school too. There's no reason why they can't find a way to compete. I looked it up online, and of the eight schools that are in the Greater Cleveland Conference now, Elyria is about fourth or fifth as far as enrollment is concerned. No, they're not as big as Mentor. They're not even as big as Brunswick and some of the other schools that are in there. But they are, like I said, fourth or fifth, and they have a lot of boys to choose from. I think it was like 800 and some, if I remember the Ohio High School Athletic Association website correctly. So, I mean, he's right. It's a big school, and there's no reason why he can't find, 40, 50 kids that can play on a football team and learn how to compete.
So, in essence, right away, he's going to have to some degree do a little bit of recruiting, isn't he?
That's what it sounded like he wants to do. He wants to, kind of get a feel for the students at the school and kind of work through that from there. You know, people always make the comments that you walk through the halls and there's kids in there that could play. I don't know that that's always necessarily true, but I think if you might have some fringe athletes that are maybe participating in other sports, you might be able to get so that they can play or participate in more than one. You know, maybe they're involved in track now. Maybe they'd like to become involved in football, or maybe they're a wrestler and they might become involved in football. That kind of thing, I think, is what he's sort of referring to.
Again, Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Tim, we'll transition to the hardwood now and talk about some great SWC action. You saw some really good SWC play a couple of nights ago, and you got to cover a team that is red hot right now, and you also covered another team that was red hot about a week ago at this time with North Ridgeville taking on Midview. I saw Midview take on Avon Lake last Friday. I was very impressed. At the time, they were the hottest team in the area for sure, right, taking down the top two teams in the conference, and then they fell in the final moments of that game on the road against Avon Lake. North Ridgeville, though, right now it just seems like they are on a different level. They are just on an incredible run.
Well, you know, the other night against Midview, what I liked about them, and even in the first half, Midview was ahead in the game by a couple of points at halftime. And you know how Midview plays that 1-3-1 zone, and they probably play it as well as anybody in the area. And other teams don't see that type of defense that often to be able to attack it. Well, Ridgeville, to their credit, they worked the ball around the circle, around the key. They passed it. They were very patient on offense, which I think is what you have to do when you're facing, you know, a zone-type defense. And they did very well. And I think eventually they kind of broke that down in the second half. Then they were able to get the lead, pull Midview out of their zone, and then were able to take control of the game. You know, both those teams have good components. They both have decent size. They both have a good guard play. And they have a couple of kids that can shoot the ball. And those are things that, with today's game, today's high school game, are things that you really need to see.
Really kind of seems like it's been a little bit of a revolving door outside of Olmsted Falls and Lakewood. Those, you know, seem to be the top dogs. But, you know, every week it seems like we're talking about a different upset, or we're talking about a different team in the SWC that's kind of that second or third team looking for that top spot.
Well, you know, you say that, and both Jim Babanek and North Ridgeville's coach said the same thing. They said that any night, the team that they're playing is capable of knocking them off. You talk about Midview losing to Avon Lake. I've seen Avon Lake a couple of times. They're not that bad of a team. They're 7-7 overall, but they're good enough where they could cause some problems. And what Jim Brabanek was kind of telling me, he said, you know, they had just beaten Lakewood, they had just beaten Olmsted Falls, and you hate to think that your kids are going to take one of those, boy, we just got by those two teams, and we should be able to win this one tonight against Avon Lake. And he said, you know, you relax for just, you know, one game, one quarter, one couple of possessions, and the next thing you know, you're getting beat, and that's basically what happened against Avon Lake.
And Avon Lake is a fascinating study because that's a team that doesn't have a whole lot of seniors on it. As a matter of fact, they only have one that plays regularly, so they're relatively young. And, you know, in talking with their head coach, Eric Smith, he mentioned, look, we've been Jekyll and Hyde throughout the course of the year. You know, when we're on, we play really well, but we have nights where it looks like there's a lid on the basket. We can't get rebounds. We can't do anything right. Teams like that are dangerous because when it comes tournament time, you know, they can certainly turn it on, and that's a young team that could really surprise some people.
Well, you know, that's basically what Eric Smith told me a couple of weeks ago when I covered one of their games and said, if we ever are able to put four quarters together, we could be a dangerous team. You know, the night I saw them, they had one bad quarter, and it cost them, but that's a team, like you said, if they can figure it out and play the consistently for four quarters, they can give anybody a fits.
You know, we've hardly scratched the surface on Avon also. That's another team.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of length, a lot of ability, a lot of guys that can do a number of different things. That SWC is most definitely wide open.
Oh, it really is. You know, Lakewood, like I said, they're like the kingpin right now. They're 8-1. Olmsted Falls is 8-2. Lakewood's game with Amherst was postponed the other night. That's why they're a game short, but they'll make that up. And they seem to be the cream of the crop as far as the league's concerned. But, like I said, with Midview knocking them off, it kind of, you know, opened the door for some of these other schools like Falls and North Ridgewood to maybe sneak in there.
Well, we are just a few weeks away from breaking down the tournament seeding. So these next few weeks are very, very important as these teams jockey for position heading into the beginning of these tournaments.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great time of year. You know, you've got teams that we haven't even talked about, Lorain and Vermillion, that are also having outstanding seasons that have a chance, I believe, to go a long way in the tournament.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Tim, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. Always a pleasure catching up, and we'll do it again soon.
Always love talking to you, Boom. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Again, that is Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. A lot of really good stuff in there talking about the SWC. And
yeah.
Boy, some great stuff also from Tim and his sit-down yesterday with the new Elyria head football coach, Devlin Culliver.